zero willingness. There's all the need to greed and eat and eat and eat and pick your brain and suck down everything that you know so that you can get a little bit of information to go and do dangerous shit.
Welcome to the Afro Fairy Goddess Podcast, a space dedicated to Afro spirituality from all over the world. Get a good dose of interviews, meditations, and a little bit of my own journey of being Black, spiritual, and magical. I'm your host, the Afro Fairy Goddess from Barbados. Now, on with the show. Meet Delamico Bay, my spiritual auntie and dear friend, who happens to be a priestess and inducted into two ATRs, African traditional religions. She's a mermaid, a conjurer, an awesome mom, crowned Dos Aguas of Yemaya Ioshun, and a no-nonsense goddess, a witch born and made of magic. This episode isn't an interview as much as it is a youngin asking her auntie about her story that we are now sharing with you all. To find out more about her, check the show notes, get your websites done because she builds them, hire her as a journalist, get some beautiful waist beads, meet my auntie Big Mommy, Miko Bay.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for being here once again on the Afro Fairy Goddess Podcast. I am very excited today to bring yet another auntie. Now this one here, one I ain't ready for. She snatches edges, she snatches lives, she tells you as it is. So if you all don't like potty mouth people, especially potty mouth people from the Caribbean, you should skip probably till the next episode because this is the real deal. And I am very honored to have her in my space. She was one of the many quote unquote aunties in my community that I reached out to for spiritual guidance. And we were actually having a small preamble. And she's like, no, are you recording? No, we need to record now. But I don't want to get too ahead, but I want people to know about Delamico, my auntie, Big Mommy vibe person. Like, y'all ain't for a treat. Hi.
Hello.
don't be quiet, no. Don't be quiet, no.
Yeah, no, later, but you know. Ask me questions.
Yes, I will. But first up, I want you to introduce yourself. I know that you have been on your journey for some time, and I wanted to know first off the bat, what has been the highlight of your spiritual journey so far?
Honestly, that's a very difficult question to answer because spiritual life and living close to these principles and ideas, one has to get very used to the concept of ebb and flow and waves, you know? Mm-hmm. So there is no high point, single high point. There are many high points. Mm-hmm. I would tell you the greatest blessing I think I have had is having the father that I did. Mm-hmm. And certainly the conversations that I had with him and the kind of the spiritual work that I did with him. I mean, there was one set of spiritual work that I did with him prior to my, you know, I guess it was early on in my journey, but it was also a long time ago. And it was the last time that we did anything like that together. Mm-hmm. And it was really beautiful. And I remember it very, you know, I cherish the memory. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be one thing, but that would be it. Having a father who was in this life, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. had all this knowledge and gifts and presence and reputation, all those things. Mm-hmm. They really helped to inform my journey. And mm-hmm. so I would say, when I think about the greatest blessings, anything, and, you know, it goes back to one of the first lessons he taught me. He he said ancestors are the portal to everything in this religion. And now that he's an ancestor, and now many years later, I really do understand what he means. I didn't then, but I do now.
Hopefully I get her on the podcast. Sonia, she was one of the, I think the first person to really open my eyes. And she is my performance teacher, but now auntie in life. I'm talking about ritual theater and Africanness and putting that within the livelihood of the students. And she was heavily chastised for that because we're doing obeah, we're doing evil work. It's not something that you're supposed to be doing when you're teaching my child. And she was pushed tightly in corners. And now that it's now a lot more mainstream, everybody putting it in different things now. And it's kind of okay now. It's a little bit better.
Okay, I find it offensive. The hypocrisy is disgusting. You don't want to start me.
No, I want you to. I want you to.
I find the hypocrisy kind of glaring, and but like I struggle with it because exactly what you're describing was my experience.
Yeah,
I came back from London, and you know I was pregnant, and you know my son was really small. And coming back to Barbados was like one, it's like literally trying to stuff your soul back into a box in a lot of ways. Because that's exactly what happened to me. By then I had already been well on my own journey, but I hadn't actually done anything in Barbados. I hadn't been in Barbados, right? I'd been out of Barbados for about 4 or 5 years. And so coming, when I came back into Barbados after 4 years of just living, and integrating this deeply into my life, or as deeply as you could being that young. You know, nobody understood my, not my family, not friends, you know, nobody understood. And, you know, as a person who has a reputation as being crazy in Barbados, I found that really offensive. Really deeply offensive, especially, you know, that's in those days, it's like 2006, 2007. Yeah. And to me that it was appalling, quite appalling. And it wasn't just all, you know, the fact that I was practicing an African religion. I also happened to have this very distinctive head of blonde dreadlocks. So yeah. I know that didn't really matter as much. But that being said, you know, I struggled mightily with the closed-mindedness of Barbadian society. And I, for many years, I used to say it's unique to Barbados, and Barbados has a unique kind of closed-mindedness. But you know, when you live in two places and have experience in both places, you know, quite frankly, the same is true locally, you know, in Trinidad as well. The same is true everywhere you go. And this was something I think until you travel and you kind of experience what it's like living in among all kinds of different people, you don't really get a sense of it because you really think that what's happening here is very localized to you, anything. But the truth is people are stupid everywhere you go.
It's true.
And when it comes to Black people, people of African descent, there is a mental conditioning no matter where you are. And do not think that it's just on in the diaspora, because continental Africans have the same issue. Not quite the same, I should say. It's any post-colonial society has the same root issues, which is internalized white supremacy. Right. Well, repression, internalized white supremacy. And so what ends up happening, especially when it comes to, as soon as you mention the words African, people start to curl in, right? At least that's how it was when I began. Now people are treating it in this kind of like faddish way. And this is not specific to Barbados or anywhere. This is all over. I think they're the only people I you don't really see doing a whole lot of it out on the internet are the Brazilians. Everybody else showing their ass. Everybody. But what it means is that there is this
Eurocentric, capitalist, post-colonial social structure that is constantly being applied to African religions. And it does not fit, you know, like one of these things does not, you know, belong.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about the resistance that you're experiencing in places like Barbados, you know, Barbados has a unique historical background, but it certainly isn't unusual. The other thing that I want to point out on in spiritual context, not all, you know, Yoruba practice is extremely popular, right? To the point where it is the flavor of ATRs that's predominant in the diaspora. And you know, I'm not saying most people find their way in because it's the most visible thing.
Yeah.
You have an absence of anything, any, you know, when you have an absence of something, especially in places like Barbados, that, geez, good God, Barbados is like, I mean, they had to invent some sort of Africanness in the 70s just to kind of make some sort of connection. There is no real tradition that has been in place since Africans first came, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, and not only that, when they came off the boats, they, you know, because Barbados was the first watering stop, the people in Barbados, the slave owners in Barbados, they really got the pick of the lot. Mm-hmm. And they picked exactly who they wanted to off these boats. And so they had a some of what is going on isn't just merely social conditioning. You know, the ATRs are not what people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're ancestral traditions.
Mm-hmm.
They're ancestral traditions. And Barbados does not have a lot of Yoruba in it. You don't have a lot of Yoruba descended people there.
No.
And they're trying to connect with what? Something that doesn't have connect me. And the history is that the Yoruba sold everybody around them. They literally pilfered and poached all the tribes in around them and sold them into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the Yoruba religious tradition managed to, you know, maintain itself the way it did is because it was one of the last to come.
Mm.
Because they had sold off everybody, and when there was nobody else to sell, they were sold.
Mm.
So they're some of the latest comers to the West, right? So that's why a lot of their cultural and spiritual, Barbados's cult, you know, Africanness is very Igbo and Akan kind of thing. It's not Yoruba. So when you're talking about people who are there, I mean, people who are connecting to these ancestral traditions that aren't their own. And the thing about ancestral traditions is people think of these ancestors as like, I don't know, angels sitting down next to the white man in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? They don't understand that they're with us. They're in our DNA.
What about the idea of the fad? I've spoken to two people older than me, and I was trying to get their idea on,
oh gosh, it's sickening,
on the fad. And some are saying, some are on the fence. They're still trying to decide if it's good or not, because to them, as you were stating earlier, right, you ain't got nothing, and it finally get here, everybody won't try it on because it adds a layer to your dimension.
Well, it's brand new to them, yes.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, they're also saying it is becoming quote unquote dangerous, because now you're dabbling in things that you don't fully understand and you don't fully respect, like the whole Oshun vibe. I'm in love with her, yes, but people don't really understand the idea of Oshun, really. And I've spoken to a female Babala about it, and she's like, there's so many things online that are so wrong. But they're not saying nothing, because as soon as you try to guide anyone about it, oh, you're trying to gate block me, or you're not trying to give me the information. Like she's traditional Ifa from Nigeria. She was actually on this podcast, and I was asking her about honey, because I wanted to do a performance for our Oshun, just giving thanks, not saying that she's my My head, Orisha.
New world thing. That's honey, the new world thing. That's not something
that she's like, she has never seen it anywhere in her study because she's been a Babalo for years. But she says she has never seen that. She said that is something that came about sometime. She ain't know nothing about no honey. She don't know where it come from. But in her structured religion, that there is nothing dealing with honey and Oshun at all. And she also says, sadly, whilst Oshun is very sensual and, you know, the life of the party, women, and I guess by extension, men, have really bastardized Oshun sexuality and came in hypersexualization.
Correct.
That was a long one. Hypersexualization. Saying, oh, I am invoking the goddess Oshun. And no.
Goddess Oshun. Oh my goodness.
It's not that. And let me tell y'all guys, this auntie here, she is Dos Aguas. Okay. So I know who I'm talking to. Anyhow, back to Auntie Nicole. You were saying something about it just now.
Well, the thing with the fads and stuff like that is, and we talk about them getting dangerous, but the thing is they have been dangerous. And not just recently, it's become perilous recently. It was dangerous even back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, right? And which is not, because there was quite a bit of it. It's just that the groups were really small, right? And they were pockets of people, yes? Mm-hmm. And what, you know, the reach wasn't the same. With social media and the rise of social media, mm-hmm. I have watched
girl, I can tell you fucking stories. God bless Moses. Come
to the
wicked, wicked, wicked world, Lord. Look,
I don't think that it really hit me full in my face just how ridiculous it had gotten until I landed in Hotlanta.
Oh.
I have never come across such a hotbed of stupidity in my life.
Really?
What? God bless them, as I call them, it's like a hotbed of con shit motherfuckers is what it is.
Wow.
Like, I could not, I'm certain that there are people who are doing good work there. Trust me. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're like all of us. Keep your mouth shut and your head under the radar and don't fuck with these crazy people because you're some crazy, straight up crazy. I think anybody who is in spiritual practice, right? Mm-hmm. And is on the internet talking beyond adding conversations here and there, you know, adding to a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who is on the internet promoting their spiritual work, practices and stuff like that, and I'm not saying everybody, but there are so many of them now. I literally would not, my advice is to don't trust none of them. You cannot learn this religion in a book. And you can't learn it on the internet and from YouTube. You know how you learn it? At fucking 1 o'clock in the morning, plucking chickens. Chicken after goddamn chicken. You feel your eyes and fingers are going to fall off. You learn it getting up and showing up. So the only people that can teach you this religion, you have to go swim to find them. And climb mountains to find them. They're not on the internet. This is a nature-based religion. What the shite are you going to learn about it on the internet besides somebody who is, quote, I'm gonna tell you, say it with me, children, flaming.
Flaming.
90% of them are flammers and the other 10% are drowned out. It's not that they don't have good messages, and it's not that they are, what they're saying isn't valuable or worthy. It's just that they're not pretty and they're not sexy, mm-hmm. and they're not showing you skin, and they're completely drowned out by these flammers.
Yeah, because I said that literally last night on the first episode for this season. There are so many people online because you think that this person has 10,000 followers and up, and
it started to get weird for me because everybody was recommending books that were similar. And I was like, but what about your experiences? Like, all of the stuff that I have learned was done via an experience. An experience not meaning literal, maybe doing Igbo.
Come into my offering, house.
But coming and sitting and talking.
House. Right. Come into my house and asking a question and getting a salient, structured answer that made sense.
Yeah, like, but people don't want to talk. And I mean, there's so many elders, and I don't even call elders anymore. I call them libraries because they are multifaceted stories that I have learned from older people in my generation. All the lessons, all the little things, all the parables, if you want to call them that, are always ingrained in a conversation over a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, learning how to knit, doing an errand, something as simple as going to the corner shop for old lady in the corner. She might tell you a story that might have a heavy value in your life, and nobody in checking be gonna just put up when somebody dead, man, remember the good times, you ain't here forever. That's like for a split second. Or we honor people when they're dead. We don't honor them when they're walking boat here, years and years and years of work. And by the time we get into their actual work, physical written work, you might want to ask a deeper question, but Kadir, they're done dead. So what are you going to do? Now is the time to speak to these libraries before they burn. That's as the saying goes, when an elder dies, a library burns.
Correct. I was going to say that. But you think about it. Timothy Callender has been dead for close for 35 years, about 35 years or so. And
such a long time.
But yes, absolutely. My point though is Uncle Timmy made this volume of work that is ignored in the Caribbean, because he's not a convenient character. He's not a convenient person. And we don't fight for legacy in the Caribbean. We don't. We fight for leavings. And when it comes to spiritual legacy, you know, some places are richer than others, but it's the same problem everywhere.
Hey, you're still listening. Thanks for your time. Since you like the show, be sure to give me a 5-star rating and review on Apple. Why? Because it helps get the content out there for others looking for Black spiritual podcasts just like this one. I'm really big into helping my Black community receive the tools and resources they need to uplift them. Thank you for subscribing.
I want to circle back to that idea of fads. When you lack continuity, right? A spiritual continuity, it's very easy to fill that space with junk food. And that's what so much of what's going on the internet with regards to ATRs, any kind of spiritual practice that's non-Judeo-Christian, quite frank.
It's very flashy.
There's a lot of appropriation and misappropriation. There is a lot of misrepresentation. There is a lot of incredible ignorance. I let me tell a story. And you know, it's so funny that this is how it should come out. I've been sitting on this one for like five years.
Oh, Lord.
And I never resolved not to talk about it publicly.
So this is set like ice in a freezer, as they say.
You have no idea, darling. About that ice in that freezer. You don't know nothing about that ice in that freezer, boo-boo. Do you have a private conversation with the associate? She'll tell you. Anyway.
Okay.
So when I got to Atlanta in the first time in 2016, I was very open to
you know, meeting people or whatever, very, and, you know, being exposed to the community. And because, you know, you, I've known so many people online, you know, there was a lot of connections that I made and whatnot, and you started going out and meeting people, and then you meet more people and you meet more people.
Right.
And because they knew that I was a spiritualist, you know, those are the types of people that I was meeting, and over again. And here's the thing about trying to fool witches. Everybody thinks that they're just like, you know, other people are just like them. Right? So when you try certain people, you can only say and do so much with some people.
Yeah.
one of those people. Right? So constantly what I was experiencing was almost like a sense of dissonance, because like I'm having conversations with people and they're radiating their real intentions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait. And I'm from the Caribbean. I grew up in Barbados. Okay. So all of the things that come with that.
Yeah.
Is definitely like,
it, you know, prepares you.
Yes. And also there's like serious culture shock as well too. There are cultural things that we grew up with, because as much as we talk about what's missing in Barbados in terms of social media, there's still enough Africanism in Barbadian culture that when you're exposed to like ethnically fatiguing environments, you know, you definitely pick up on the ways in which we are different. Right. And the way we are socialized. And not only that, more specifically, the ways in which we are culturally connected in the Caribbean, that a lot of other people, like the US Americans, they talk. Black US Americans talk, but there isn't real unifying culture in the United States. It is literally a hodgepodge of all kinds of crazy shit. When I was a child growing up in Barbados, there was a very rigid, I don't want to say hierarchy exactly, but age reference. And if you were older, you had seniority, period. So there were, and there were, it was enforced. It was seriously enforced even as I was a child. So it's like little things. You're not supposed to stand with your hand in your kimbo with somebody older than you. I don't know if they still do that.
I haven't seen that in a long time. But well, there's still things in place and time, things that I see.
Well, when in my place with me, this was rigid social reinforcement that happened in from the time you were at school. They socialized you this way. I found that, you know, you find yourself looking at in Barbados, this context of eldership, right? And the way in which it is enforced. You know, when I don't have a cultural context for say like the US or the UK or other places, but I know things like that thing, that hand in the kimbo thing is serious. When I was growing up, you were told not to look your elders in the eye. You were told when people are angry, don't look them in the eye, because you're gonna get your ass beat. Like you, I bet every child in the Caribbean, if your mother vexed them in the house, turn shit up.
Don't make eye contact.
You don't make eye contact with that woman.
Cause if she sees you.
Down. Cause if she sees you, here it comes. Here it comes. Your ass is getting ripped. And that is an African thing. They tell me you're not supposed to look the spirit in the eye. When the spirit comes on somebody, you're supposed to not look. I didn't even make this connection until I was in a palais in deep South Trinidad. And a spirit was in manifestation and kept knocking my glasses off in my face. Well, I say knocking, but that's the thing. But they, because whenever they don't actually mistreat me ever. I've never, ever had this experience.
I get what you mean.
That way. They love me so much. I can't say that I'm mistreated in any way. Spirit just loves to see me.
But when it comes to like, they would just take my glasses off. And if I try to put it back on, take it off again, you understand? Mm-hmm. And later on, I was told you're not supposed to, this was very early on. So later on, when I started going, I realized that as soon as the spirit lands in the palais, mm-hmm. right? And you feel that energy, the energy level change in the room. You gotta be sitting down there watching people take off the shades and the glasses. Or if they're wearing shades, go outside. Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen too. Those are little things, right? Mm-hmm. But think, going back to this, what I'm talking about in terms of eldership and whatnot, because it's directly related to our conversations and some of the things we were said earlier. Mm-hmm. Eldership in the ATRs is sacred. And it's because our elders are libraries that we treat them that way. And because these elders are the gateway that we are going to have to beseech later on after they transition. Mm. The thing that concerns me, I think, the most that I've been seeing is the way in which the internet has almost strip that away in terms of, you know, so you have a lot of people with a little bit of information, and anybody that knows me knows that I have a literally a very thick book of proverbs and quotes that I use constantly, and among them is a little information is a very dangerous thing. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of people who are quote unquote attracted to these spiritual traditions, but they do not want to actually go through the kind of rigorous effort
training.
I can't even
be on the flip side of that, Auntie. It could be the fact that it's too simple. It's not glamorous enough.
I don't think it's that it's too
simple. A girl told me that though. She went somewhere to get something done and da 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 da.
Yeah, but she doesn't understand. Either she says it's too simple, but whoever it was that was doing that work for her, maybe it was simple work that they were doing, but she doesn't have enough experience to know what is simple and what is not simple. She's just talking over her ass. Let's move along. Anyway, eldership. As I came into, because I have to say, I do believe that my generation was the last generation to get a lot of stuff. And it's very sad. I do mean that very deeply. It's very sad only. Mm. But, you know, coming into this tradition, there is any of these traditions, there is I can't believe I'm actually saying this. I'm really getting old. Because when I was young, I really didn't get it either. Really, I did not get it. The need for protocol, the need for steps, the need for vetting.
That's a big one. Vetting is a big one.
Oh, goodness gracious me, Christmas trees on crackers. Listen, I did not get it when I was 27 and 28. And I found it really offensive because I felt, later on, I found out I quite rightly felt this way, but I did feel like everybody was slow walking me, mm-hmm. right? And later on, it took a lot of growth and maturation to understand, you know, that not everybody's journey is the same and you kind of really have to meet people where they are. But at 27, 28, I did not understand the need for these rigid protocols, mm-hmm. even in a community where they were willing to just show me anything because of my father. I mean, because I was my father's daughter, they literally were willing to throw open all the damn doors just to say they had me in their in their group. That's how need, you know, that's how it was, right? Mm-hmm. Even in those cases, I could not understand, even in those instances, the need for protocol. And it took a long time for me to understand why these checks and balances existed, mm. right? With
social media, the internet, and little baby witches that are coming up now, there are no checks and balances like that. And the difference, let's say, between, let's say, my generation and these younger people that are coming up is because I was so, and certainly Caribbean people and people in the United States and elsewhere, you know, that respect for elders is something that's so deeply ingrained that even as I move through my own, you know, spiritual life and whatever, and I encounter people who are older than me, initiated, not initiated, at varying levels of practice, whatever, I may like you, love you, can't stand the best fucking bone in you, right? There are certain lines that I never crossed. And I'm telling you, I've had spiritual people who said that they were my spiritual mother, godparent, father, godparents, however you want to phrase that term, mm-hmm, who betrayed me. And I mean, literally, mm-mm, I mean, some dastardly shit. Mm-mm. Right? But to say that any of those people, you could call them, if they could talk whatever the fuck they want to talk, be out, you know, outside of my eyesight. Mm. But they can't stand up in front of me and in front an actual, what's the word I'm saying? Let's say they can't stand in that. Mm. And say that I was disrespectful. And this is, and I mean, some of the things that these people have done to me are terrible. Terrible things. This is what I see is missing. The young people that are coming up are so combative. Mm. And I am, you know, I'm really, some days I struggle with it and some days I'm okay with it. And some days I'm like, what the fuck? Because what you said earlier, where you were speaking to another sister and she was saying that, mm-hmm, you know, if you try to guide them, mm-hmm, they turn into like, it's like they mech out a dragon teeth. You'd be like, eh.
But I saw interaction with you online though, on Facebook, yeah, a couple years ago, and one person, I'm not going to say their name, but it was she's around my age, a little younger. You guys had a conversation about something. It wasn't about Sage or anything like that, I don't think, oh, but it was something dealing.
Oh, I
was kinda, it Sage? Yes, I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure, because I'm pretty passionate about that one.
But and you were trying to explain to her, and this was before everybody, you see, you gotta come off the internet and you gotta come off the social media shit. This was way before all of the conversation about no Sage is this, yeah, and Sage is that thing. And you was trying to explain to the girl, you know, this is a better way. You can try this. You were even talking about how to make your own Florida water at some point. Because you told, and this was before Florida water even became a craze, because you told me so. So if you want a witness, I would say yes. You told me to make my own Florida water because the Florida water that the manufacturers are creating is very, very much diluted, has in a lot of alcohol, and it's not as powerful as it could be. And that even I, as a baby spiritualist in this community, I can make my own that is 10 times more powerful than the one I get at the Botanica. But side story, but you were trying to explain to her about what she was doing wrong and trying to guide her. And she blew up on you on Facebook and talked about how you was another one of them gatekeepers. And how you, there are too many people who are trying to hold back information from people. And in my head, I was like, but she literally tell you, if well, you stand up what? In the fire and pour gasoline on your ass, you're going to blow up. And you telling she no?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the observation that I may have to make about that sort of thing. Is that it could be about Sage or Florida water. It could be about, like, I literally had this, the exact same experience
on somebody's Instagram page. Mm-hmm. Her page is devoted to, quote, empowering women. Mm-hmm. And she and made this post about something about virginity, this, that, and the next thing. And I said, but, and I wrote down, I mean, virginity is a myth. It was invented by mm-hmm. men. Mm-hmm. And I think this heifer is going to come at me and say, oh, I'm not like you, you know, this bitter old woman. I actually love men. And I was like, wait.
Oh, no.
Oh, what the fuck that have to do with virginity being a myth? Something that men fucking made up to validate changing the property of one man to another. End of text. My point is, it could be anything. And what I notice is there is zero willingness. There's all the need to greed and eat and eat and eat and pick your brain and suck down everything that you know so that you can get a little bit of information to go and do dangerous shit, mm. right? Mm-hmm. That's what they do, right? And then when they turn around and they say that you're gatekeeping, I'm like, yes, bitch, I'm gatekeeping because you trifling. You trifling, you silly, right? You're immature. You don't want to learn anything from anyone. Your cup is too full for anybody else to fill it. So guess what? I am gatekeeping. Our ancestors back in Egypt 13,000 years ago knew that we would forget everything that was important. That's why they carved that shit in stone and they put it above the lintels of every single temple. Know thyself. It is literally the key to mastery. And so many people do not know themselves. Mm. And so many people are very caught, especially when they're approaching these ATRs. They think of ATRs the way Christians think of Christianity. Mm. And they just trade one, they just exchange one set of dogma for another, even if it's self-created dogma. And they take that dogmatic approach that Christianity and most of these Judeo-Christian religions take and apply it to something it does not apply to. So what we end up with, as you can see in this wonderful soup, is just a lot of half idiots.
And everybody teaching over the same thing, you know?
Because they all got the same basic. Let me tell you something. You talk about coming to my house and me explaining. I barely remember that night. And you and me explaining, you know, I didn't even remember I did that. Yeah. And you think, but that's so basic. Yeah. Anything I said to you was basic information.
Mm-hmm. And you was making a macaroni pie just talking.
Correct. But this is basic information. So what happens, a lot of people, they get basic information because basic information is free. And here's the thing, we need a million ancestor shrines. We need 10 million ancestor shrines. And we're nowhere near that in the West here yet. Okay. We need 10 million lights burning. However we do it in this part of the world, mm-hmm. we need to do it like that. Because it worked for our ancestors. We need to remember it for us, for ours now, right? Mm-hmm. So my issue is anything, but I'm telling you, everybody should set up an ancestral shrine no matter what you believe. No matter what you believe or what tradition you're practicing, everybody should have one. So there is nothing about doing the basic setup that should be withheld. Everybody should get those basic rules. And there's some basic information out there floating around, certainly.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. I mean, if, you know, we could stay here, and I'm quite frankly, I've been at this stuff for a while now, a couple of decades. And I really don't want to have another conversation about the flavors of ATRs, right? That's really not productive in my opinion. My issue that I am experiencing constantly is that my socialization that has it where even if I disagree with you, I could disagree with you down to the fucking ground. Like you could be talking the most shite here. You would be talking the most foolishness. You're just talking on your ass. And I'm like sitting down there and I will be like there is nothing that would get, I may disagree with you and very politely disagree with you, right? But there is nothing in my experience that would make it okay for me to disrespect elders the way that I see some of these little cows disrespecting elders. I am with anybody who's gatekeeping, y'all. No, you can't get nothing from me. You got the life out of fucking me and then turn around and kick me in the ass. You must be joking. Because I have ass written on my forehead. No. You want me? You can climb a mountain and swim the sea, darling. No. You can't find me on the internet to do nothing for you. Nope. Well, you can. I mean, I'll do a reading for you. Seriously, I'm not you. Do you know that? If you've been on my Facebook for over 10 years,
yeah, Zinga, there's ever, so much.
Right, but you've never seen me talking. You see me talking in past about my spiritual beliefs and stuff like that.
But never in depth about anything, how to do this, how to do that, how to this, or how to that.
You don't see me telling you about what spells to do with this. And I'm like, you must be joking. Who doing that? Somebody that wants attention. And the first rule of magic, the very first rule that they teach you, dare to do that thing, dare to keep it secret. That's the first rule that they teach you. And look at all these cunts about here. Look, we don't have to go far.
Keep it guarded, keep it safe.
Pick a hashtag. Everybody out there showing you all kind of, I'm like,
the big one for me is the Book of Shadows and the Grimoires. You're showing people your most prized possession and what is in it. And in my head, I'm like, but this, even if you, let's say you're really into helping people and you really want to showcase what a grimoire is and thing, well, you can just get like an exercise book. You can just get like a normal flat table with four white candles and explain what happening. Why are you showing your ashes to your people? Personal,
but this is my issue.
You're showing your ashes to people.
But this is the thing, because they're monetizing this stuff. And they're using capitalistic ideas, concepts, living all of that stuff and applying it to things that it does not apply to. Because they think, because you paid for a reading, and when you have to do Ebo, right? Or you have to do Adamu or something, right? Or you're doing a sale out or whatever, that you have to pull your pocket and pay. If you have to get initiation, when you tell people that an initiation is $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000,
yep,
right? And it was, in my day, we used to blanch. I mean, in my day, we used to say that $5,000, $10,000 to make a Oshun was a lot. Now they're telling me it's all $10,000, $15,000. I'm like, she knows where I am. She come and find me anytime she's ready. You understand? I'm just saying. When you tell people that kind of money, people, and then there are a lot of people who are practicing this literally. This is the spirit, for whatever reason, forbids them from doing any other work.
Yeah.
Right. And so what that means is that work has to take care of them. And I understand why. I understand that. And then there are people who they're literally doing this to pay their bills. It's not that they can't go out and do anything else. This is just how they're making their money. And this is what they're opting to do. And what I'm saying to you is there is no way a person who has to do this because spirit says this is all that you're supposed to be doing cannot be found on the internet talking more than the most basic things.
Yep.
If you want to talk to that person, you need to pick your pooch up and go and find them.
And up to now, my other rant, up to now, I don't know why people don't get this. No spiritual worker, I don't care where they are from, if they are worth a grain of salt, is going to come in your DM and say your ancestors sent them to give you a fucking reading. I have been saying this for the past 2 years before it got really, really bad. Now it's just fucking ridiculous. I'm surprised
that people are still talking about that. I mean, we were talking about that in 2004 and people are still, I know they're still doing it. I'm just saying.
But you should be able to discern now. You should be able to discern now.
Because we talked about it so freely back in 2003 and 4 and 5 and 6. God. And talked about those things. I mean, granted, many of those sites that we talked on are now dead and gone. That's besides the point. We have had that information out and talking and skating out that chat out for more than 20 years. And you telling me that that people are still falling for that nonsense?
And not like a little $10 either, you know, $500 here, $1,000 there for readings.
I want to roll back a bit because I started telling you about this experience I had in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And we got diverted mm-hmm. because it's relevant and it's a story.
All right, let me turn off my mic. Let me sit down quiet.
It's a whole story. So I get down there, you know, and I'm very quickly I realize, well, my God, these people are fake as hell. And you know, and I'm noticing this in a Caribbean way, right? So trust me, it's anyhow, we're talking about, oh, we in the South. No, boo-boo, you're in the South of the United States. I come from the South of Earth. There's a lot of fake stuff going on, right? And it's very, very plain and easy to suss. And I was shocked by it because I wasn't expecting it, I guess, you know? I don't know why I wasn't expecting it, but I really was surprised by it. Anyway, made friends with this couple. The boy is called Shaman Hands. Boy half is called Stilts Goldman. She also known as Shaman Hands. The other half is Latoya Thurman. Her name is Chrysalis Sun. So I made friends with them. You know, ultimately, I left Atlanta, was gone for several months. And when I came back down, I stayed with them, right? And like, as soon as I got there, well, about 2 months before I went back down to Atlanta, I had a conversation with the girl half, and she had said to me that she had gone to Las Vegas and she'd had a reading with a Santero, and the Santero told her that she was gonna have her own church and that she should set up a shrine for her ancestors. And I encouraged her. I said to her, well, you know, churches is a lot of work, girl, and you should take your time because, you know, take your time and build up, right? Because it's a lot of effort and you don't know what you're talking about yet. You should build up some experience and slowly get used to that. And in terms of setting up the Egun Shrine, everybody should do that. Everybody who has melanin in the body need to be doing that. And I get down to Atlanta a couple months later, walk in the house. And this is like a Friday or a Thursday or a Friday. And she tells me the next day that they're planning to have a quote service on Sunday. And I was like, a service? She's like, yes, we're having service on Sunday. You know, we just have some people over and, you know, we have conversations and we, you know, do some instruction. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just stay in my room then. I don't want to get overshadowed. You know, I'll just stay in my room and stay out of your way. And so it's the first weekend that I'm there. I get there, then the Sunday service starts. I'm in my room and like, it must have been going on and going on and going on. At some point, she comes in a panic into me, knocks on my door. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? I come out. She says, I need you. I'm like, you need me? I go outside. One of the girls who had attended the service was in a state of half possession, foaming at the mouth, and flipping around on the floor.
What?
On the board is diagrams and lists and things discussing the Orishas
and explaining this, that, and the next thing. I'm like, what the fuck is going on in here? While I was in my room watching Game of Thrones.
What the hell?
And she, because you could see the panic in her face. She was like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, okay. And I start calling. Okay, bring me this, 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 and this. And within 5 minutes, I brought a girl back. Now, that should have been the moment when I said to her, girl, what the fuck are you doing? The fuck are you doing? But I did not. And this began like 3 or 4 months, very weird, difficult months for me, in which, like, literally the limits of my patience were tested, seriously tested. Because I'm watching this girl who had just gone and gotten her reading from 2 months ago in Las Vegas from a, hold on, I think she said the Santero was Borican, or he wasn't Cubano. And 2 months later, you have you're calling this your church and you set up a service and you have the fucking nerve to be teaching strangers in your house about the Orishas and ancestors. I mean, I got there the Friday to Thursday and I looked at her Egun shrine. This girl had the living and the dead mixed up on her shrine. And I'm like,
oh, hell no.
I'm like, boo, you need to stop that. You need to talk about it real quick. You know? I'm like, what the rest? All of my sin.
No. What? And she's doing a church.
Look, and she just, and having church service the next day.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And yes, Chrysalis son and still fucking Goldman. This also preceded, like, there was this kind of like low-key predation going on, right? And towards the end, it was like, girl, the penis pandering, the false information. I mean, I'm like, at one point they're holding the church service next to my bedroom, right? So I have to hear all this bullshit going on outside. And I mean legit, the amount of nonsense that they are repeating. And their numbers are growing almost every single week. And I'm watching this thing go down and I'm like,
spiraling out of control.
How in God's name can these people be so thirsty? I don't remember being this dumb when I was learning. Mm-mm. I don't remember this being this thirsty for anything when I was learning, that I allowed my critical thinking to completely take off and go elsewhere. Go off to China for a visit to see the Great Wall. And that's what's going on. It isn't just that there are people who are deluding themselves. And I mean, by the way, that situation ended with me telling her, girl, listen, this boy gonna burn down your whole fucking life here, but you can't tell me what the fuck you do. You don't know what the fuck you're doing with your pussy. You need to stop, girl. And I turned on my heel and I walked out. And they did some terrible shit. I mean, the way that they stole a laptop from me. They stole a winter coat from me in December. Tell them Shaving Hands and Chrysalis son out there doing some bullshit. Made the record show I said it. And they can't do me shit. So what the fuck you gonna do? Mm-hmm. And I really resolved not to speak about this. So the only reason I'm speaking about it now is it's a teaching moment. Because this is what is happening. You have a little people that get a little information out here doing dangerous shit, and people who are very thirsty and hungry with big gaping holes in their lives. And they're just, they're searching. And unfortunately, what is happening is that this kind of, you know, the instantness of the internet and the instantness of the thing, they really, you know, it forges this idea of closeness. Mm-hmm. And these are people who are very into these, you know, to like celebrity culture and all of that kind of stuff. And more, let me be precise, very into cults of personality. And this is what this conflagration that we are seeing, that's what it is. Hmm. And this is why I say and said, you cannot learn anything, but there's nobody here on the internet who is worth anything. In like anybody who's on the internet talking like that, their juju is trash. Hmm. They're utter trash. And I don't trust people that are doing that. You can talk about simple stuff and basic stuff and whatnot. That's okay. But the vast majority of people who are out here, they are using these little basic and lording it over people who don't know better. And the people, like, there are a few people who are putting out content, but they say exactly what I'm saying now. And there are only a couple of people that are doing that. There are very few people that are doing it. The vast majority of people who know stuff don't talk about it.
Yeah. You can tell who is in for the glitz and the glam, and those people who are, and the thing is, the basic information gets you a lot further than the glitz and the glam, you know, because I can't explain it, man.
About ancestors is cool, because here's the thing. When my father told me that ancestors are the portal into all spirituality when it comes to the African traditional religions, he really meant that. And by that, I mean, when you forge a relationship with your ancestors, and more, and specifically your ancestors and your Ori, that's where I tell everybody to start, right? Once you forge a relationship with that, with those two forces, everything else comes together.
Yeah.
Right? There isn't everything, you know, the right teachers come at the right time, right? Even if you're learning, even if they're hard situations that you're going through, everything that you need comes to you once you have those two things in place. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to start there. But you have people going for readings and they're told, you know, I am always stunned by this. You know why? Because when I was beginning, that's the thing, you know, everybody goes and gets these readings done and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a point at which, at least for me personally, there's only so many times you can tell me how wonderful my future is and how brilliant I am and all of this, that, and all of these things that are coming to me and this, that, and that, da 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 da. Right? There's only so many times you could hear that from different readers in different countries on different sides of the Atlantic before, okay, that's what it is. All right, it's fine. That's what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And at no point did they say, of the things that they said to me, that I'm all these fabulous things that I'm doing or supposed to do or whatever, right? Did I ever get so big in my britches? And people accuse me of being arrogant. So I've never been so arrogant as to presume, okay, that this was something that I wanted to monetize. Mm. This is part of the reason why you will never get me. I will only ever sell you websites. I can only sell you like that sort of stuff. I can't sell my spirituality.
I get you.
I can write about it. I can talk about it. You understand? People talk about this, like talk about this girl, Chris Lisson and her little church foolishness. I'm like, when they tell you that you're a priestess and you're this and you're that and you're all of these, and trust me, they tell me all these titles that they've said with regards to me and all of that. I'm like, okay, but I can't take those things seriously. Not until my life shows me that. Mm-hmm. It's not real to me until it happens.
And if it happens, it's something I'll have to grow into, because I'm not stopping listening to Missy Elliott today. I still fully intend to go and shake my booty down in the down, you know, run away in car at carnival and go and whine on the police. That's happening. You understand? Mm-hmm. And if it means that, you know, I don't want to know about certain things until it's time for me to deal with that. I don't think this, you know, it got to this point where I was like, you know what? Y'all been slow walking me. I'm gonna just walk slow. And I've been initiated. I've been initiated to ATR, to two different ATRs. I think this year is 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, or is it 5 years or 4 years? 5 years. To say that I've been initiated as a priest with five, but to say that I'm out here setting myself up to be somebody's spiritual leader, or I am going to take spiritual, you know what it is to take spiritual responsibility for people?
For their life.
For their life. How you got these jackasses out here just doing all kinds of crazy? This is what I mean when I say it's perilous. And I'm not just talking about the internet priests, you know. There are people out here really just mixing and matching and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hmm.
And calling it X or Y or whatever. And it doesn't resemble, it's like all just made up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a money-making exercise in some cases. In some cases, the person doesn't know, so they just made up some shit to fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, you know, there are people who know, but they, you know, don't put in an effort because they bought money. There's a lot of really wild stuff going on. And the thing that worries me the most is, and that's from experienced people that know, and I mean experienced priests, people who've been out here working and doing stuff for donkey years. I'm not talking just about the internet people. The internet people are flammers. I don't really take, the vast majority of them are not to be taken seriously. I am talking about the actual workers. There's enough wickedness and charlatanry going on at that level. The internet is just adding a layer of shit to it. What concerns me is these young people at the got boat. When I don't like to listen, when I hard ears, I know what to say. And you know, when I butt them up on the internet now, I'd be like, or butt them up anywhere now, I'd be like, oh, right, hard ears, you want to hear? By and by, you're going to feel, boo-boo. By and by, you're going to feel. Because here's the difference between me and a lot of these people that I realized I had to dress down and just leave them to the self.
Mm.
Is because when I was in that same position as a young woman, not understanding why these old people telling me these things, I was never so rude as to tell them, oh, you're fucking gatekeeping. Or you're, I'd be like, okay, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to disrespect you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take from you what it is, whatever you have to give me, and be respectful and grateful for whatever that experience is. And some of the best lessons I learned were just how that's how I learned them. And a lot of these baby witches, they think you can really look this stuff up on the internet and try it.
People, and the thing is too, people, look, they're teaching you how to do things, right? But nobody ain't teaching you how to clean up nothing. Nobody ain't teaching you how to stuff a spell. Nobody ain't.
Everybody teaching you how to call. They've been telling you how to dismiss. Smart ass.
So now you're walking around with all this shit on you, correct, and you don't even know.
Correct.
Well, that's our show for this week. If you've listened all the way through and want to connect, join some workshops, or even be on the show, check me on Twitter and Patreon under the handle The Afro Fairy Goddess. You can check out the website also at theafrofairygoddess.com, or if you want to drop me a line, email me directly at theafrofairygoddesspodcast@gmail.com. I am the Afro Fairy Goddess, and as always, don't forget to believe in your magic.